as I look back on my childhood, I realize that worship, particularly the Sunday liturgy, the gathering together as a community, praying together and sharing in the sacraments, all of this formed me as it soaked into my bones and it soaked into my my subconscious. It soaked in. It just became a part of me. With that said, there is very little that I remember about the worship services themselves. I don't even remember what it was like to worship on Easter Day. I do remember Mr. Egan, who was the cantor for the psalm. I remember how dreadfully long we had to stand when the Passion narrative was read. I remember sleeping in the pew during Christmas midnight mass, and then I remember years later, as an acolyte, trying to stay awake. And then there was Palm Sunday. I remember marching around the church. I remember waving palm branches. And I remember shouting, Hosanna. I'm so glad that we have this technology to do what we're doing today. We are blessed by it. But this is not how I planned to celebrate Palm Sunday. I wanted to gather as a community. I wanted to pray with you face to face. I wanted to share in the sacraments. I wanted to parade around the church and wave my palm branch and enjoy the holy awkwardness that it always brings. And I wanted to sing, all glory, laud, and honor. I didn't want to preach from sitting here in a chair talking to a screen. But we have what we have. Now, with that said, I still want to sing, all glory, laud, and honor. Now, to make this happen, we're actually going to have part one. This is part one of our live stream. As I look up and I see that, I have to say hi to a few people because now you're popped in. We see Dottie Lou Crisp is with us. Good morning. Good morning, Adam. Hi, I'm glad you are with us. And Kay Stone, wonderful to have you with us today. And so this is part one. And so I'm going to stop this live feed because it's the only way that I can do it to be able to sing this song with you. Now, I'm going to put into the Facebook feed a YouTube video, and it's not your average YouTube video. And so this is a St. Paul's video, and this is St. Paul's coming together to sing all glory, laud, and honor. So we're going to put it in there. We're going to give you all a chance to play it there at home, sing along. The words will be there for you. And then once it's done, I will start another live broadcast, and we will continue. But we just have to sing. We have to do this together. So I'll see you in a minute. All glory, laud, and honor to the Redeemer King. All right. See? I told you it was not your ordinary all glory, laud, and honor. We've been missing the music, but it's not just hearing it. It's experiencing it with our community. And we're very blessed and grateful for Ben Gallagher, who was on the organ, and for Elisa Teachout, who was on the timpani. Is that right? Timpani? Learning. And for Adam Teachout, who his gift and instrument of vocals. What a gift for you all to, and your gift of technology and being able to pull that together from your different places around and being able to stay socially distanced. I do have to also thank not only Ben, Elisa, and Adam, but I also have to thank Reverend Chris from First United Methodist Church, Reno. Reverend Chris, thank you for allowing your husband, Ben, to play your organ to record this for us. I hope that maybe you got to use it too in your worship today. But it did bring a sense of normalcy and connection back to what I remember of Palm Sunday. And so that really does feel better. Palm Sunday has been set right. All is well in the world. No, all is not well in the world. And all was not well in the world on that day when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. If things were well in the world, he would not have needed to ride into Jerusalem like that. He would have not have needed the parade. He would not have needed to make a very important point. When Jesus rode into the city, he himself became an outward and visible sign that there were two worlds, two kingdoms, the earthly kingdom of the Roman Empire and the kingdom of God. One was a kingdom about power, and the other about love and the oneness with our God. What Jesus witnessed that day as he rode through the crowds, as he witnessed people waving branches, laying their coats down in front of him, it would have been mixed feelings, I'm sure. These two feelings juxtaposed against one another. On the one hand, Jesus is beginning to witness that some people are starting to understand something on a deeper level. They're starting to understand of who he is. They are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, to the Son of David." They are being drawn in to this narrative that Jesus is the Messiah. And they're shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." He has to have some great connection with them, that the crowds are hearing what he is doing as he walks throughout the region. And people are starting to connect. But on the other hand, they are yelling Hosanna at him. Now, as a kid, loved to yell Hosanna. I did. That walking around the church, waving the palm, yelling Hosanna. It was wonderful. Like I said, it is one of those memories for me that I actually tie to worship, to Sunday worship. It formed me. But something was missing. To me, it was just a word of, "Go Jesus, yay." You know, we're waving at the politician who's driving in the parade in the fancy car. No. Hosanna. What Jesus is hearing, Hosanna means save us now, we pray. Save us now. People are yelling, Hosanna. they are in pain. They are suffering. It is not these shouts of joy that my childhood remembers. It's the shouts of our needs, our need of a Savior, our need of a Messiah, our need to believe it, and our need to live it. As we wave our palms and as we shout Hosanna, we are making that confession. We are making a confession that we need to be saved. We need a Savior. This isn't some magic moment. This is a lifelong journey into the salvation that Jesus offers us. We are confessing that we're in pain, that we are suffering. We are confessing that we need to be saved from our sin and our separation. And we're also, if we're honest, confessing that we need saved from ourselves. We bring so much of this pain and suffering on ourselves, and we bring it to our fellow humanity. But as believers and as followers of Jesus, we have this dual relationship to these relationships that are juxtaposed against each other, just like Jesus had when he was coming through that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Because as followers of Jesus, we not only make those shouts of our need for Jesus in our life, but as believers and followers, we become the ears that hear the call. We then become the outward and visible sign of God's kingdom in this world. So many people right now are shouting Hosanna. They're not using that word, but they are shouting in pain and suffering. They're shouting for a need of hope and love. They're shouting for a need for some relationship of salvation, some essence of being saved. I think about, and I invite you to type them in too. I mean, who are you hearing that's crying out in pain right now? I think about those who are, you know, again, our relationships as they butt against each other internally. We are the outward and visible sign of Jesus in this world. So when I hear of people losing their health insurance because they're losing their job, what could we have done to ever prevent them having to worry about losing their health insurance? Variety of things. And I encourage you to type them in. Who are you hearing that are crying out in need right now? Share those thoughts with us. I want to share one that I received just this morning by a phone call. Some of you know Catherine Castile. She's a member here at St. Paul's. She called in quite a bit of anxiety and pain this morning because she received a call from her daughter who lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Her daughter-in-law is a priest there in Fort Lauderdale at All Saints Episcopal Church. Leslie's church, her daughter-in-law Leslie the priest, she went in this morning to do like we are doing, to pull together our means to try to share worship and try to tell the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem today. The story of hearing people's pain and suffering, and what she walked into was that her church had been broken into. It has been trashed, destroyed, vandalized. From just imagine everything that you can imagine being in that church. It's crushed, it's torn, it is in such disarray, and it's not only the destruction of things we hold sacred, but of not being able to gather as a community to mourn together in that pain and that suffering. It's a story that is, it's unfolding right now, even as we speak. I don't know what All Saints in Fort Lauderdale has done in response to this, but I do know that I hear that pain, and I heard it from Catherine this morning as she shared that with me. And we stand together as a people, with as an Episcopal people, with the people, the members of All Saints in Fort Lauderdale in their pain, and we raise up our prayers for them. But God is the people, is the God of all people. And so when we hear the cries of people in need and in pain right now throughout the world, we're a part of that pain. And so we experience it in the oneness of God, in the oneness of God's kingdom. But then in the Spirit, and in our belief and our understanding of living out as the ears and hands and heart and feet of Christ in this world, we're to respond to that in how we can. A little tricky right now. We have to find new ways to respond to people and help people and to be that outward visible sign in the world right now. But we can do it. We have to do it. We have to be able to both shout, Hosanna, Lord Christ, we need you, and we need saving. And we need to hear those shouts and be Christ's salvation in this world. All glory, laud, and honor.